I will always be thankful for whatever minister it was who came up with the little slogan, a place to belong, a place to become. That's a perfect description of the church. And it certainly covers the second and third purposes of the purpose-driven life. That the church is a place to become. We talked about that last week, and people are still talking about it. The fellowship, the kind of fellowship we need to be as God's people gathered together. And the church is also a place to become. Become what? Peter tells us we become participants of the divine nature. God created us, in effect, to be like Him, to be like His Son, Christ Jesus. God calls us to become Christ-like. And this is the journey of our life, to become what God intended us to be. And God has revealed this throughout time, through the scriptures, through the prophets, through the teachers of the Word, and finally in His Son, Christ Jesus. We're here in the church to become like Christ Jesus. And this involves more than salvation. You'd think most people get so wrapped up in salvation, but and I think for most people it's like buying an insurance policy and putting it in a safety deposit box. It's there when I need it. But salvation is not what it's all about. I mean, that's just a beginning point in our lives, that we're saved from the corruption of sin, the corruption of the body, the corruption of this world, as Peter tells us, so we can take on and participate in the divine nature. And that process is called sanctification, that we are saved, we're regenerated into a new being. We become a new person. We are born again. And like a little child, we must learn as this newborn creature, spiritual creature, how to be more like the Father. And so God sent His own Son into the world to show us exactly how we're supposed to be like the Father. For when we see Jesus, we see a perfect image of the Father. Now, I was really thrilled when I got to this section, because so many churches are so wrapped up in preaching salvation that we don't do a good job on becoming like Christ. We don't do a good job with sanctification. It's easier to just stay with salvation. Are you saved? Yes, praise God. For what? To be a saved whatever I was before I was saved? Quite frankly, that's not saving a whole lot. At least in my case, I don't know about you. Maybe you were a real catch for God. But salvation is the process where we enter the door. John Wesley says, prevenient grace is the porch. That's the grace of God that goes before us and invites us to His house. And salvation is the doorway, the threshold into the house of God. But sanctification is being in the house with the Father. And we do not spend nearly enough time. And I was so glad that Rick made this such an important part of this purpose to become like Christ. He talks about sanctification, and we as Methodists are in good stead for this. John Wesley talked about sanctification all of the time, and he used something to kind of perk people's interest. Got a lot of controversy started in his day, and it still exists, because his everyday name for sanctification was Christian perfection. That when you'd meet a Methodist in the old days, the question you would ask somebody in their faith is, are you going on to perfection? Sister, are you going on to perfection? In other words, have you gone through the doorway and become a part of the family of God and are living in the house of God spiritually? Are you being made perfect and made holy day by day? That is this third purpose he's talking about. Sanctification. He preached two sermons that are included in the collection of sermons that we have on Christian perfection. He talked about Christian perfection in a little booklet he wrote called The Character of a Methodist. And he also wrote another booklet called A Plain Account of Christian Perfection. Now, what we have to realize is what Christian perfection is not. We don't have perfect knowledge. We are not perfect so that we don't make a mistake. We are not physically perfect so we do not have infirmities. And we are not so perfect that we can't be tempted to risk it all. So we're not materially perfect. As long as we're in this world, in this body, we are corrupt to some degree. So we're not perfect in that sense. But we are and can be in this life perfected in love. Perfected in our ability to love. So that we're so filled with the love of God that we never knowingly commit a sin. We never intentionally commit a sin and hurt another person. But we can make mistakes. We can be blindsided. And we can slip back in our walk with God. And John Wesley said that we are at different stages in that process. We're certainly different stages because a lot of people are crowding and standing in the doorway, salvation. Imagine going to see a great Broadway production. Or of late, let's say you had tickets to the Final Four. Now, where do you want to be? You want to be crowded around the doorways for the whole game? Or the whole production? But that's where most of the people of God are crowded. We just got in the door. Thank you, Lord, I made it through the door. But I ain't going to see the production. I can hear it sometimes. You know, I hear some stuff going on. Pretty nice. But we just don't get past the doorway. We don't get past the vestibule. We don't get past the holding area. And I tell you what, I wouldn't want to have to pay for tickets and just get past the door. But you'd think Christians are satisfied with that. I'm saved. I'm in. I'm covered. You know, it's kind of like, well, the best I'm going to get is cheap seats. Way up there where the basketball looks like it, the court looks like it's that big. With little ants running around on it. Why? All I was interested in is salvation. All I wanted was my insurance policy. I didn't care that God created me to be like his son. And so in one of his sermons on Christian perfection, John Wesley says there are several stages in their life. They are the newborn babes in Christ. They are the little children. They are the young men. And then there are the fathers, the mature. And he goes through Scripture and talks about where each of these is made reference to. And, you know, there are just all too many babes and children in Christ. Oh, how many times did we hear Jesus dealing with his disciples saying, oh, little children. But you see, they matured into young men in Christ spiritually. And then they became fathers in Christ. And when they became fathers, they were able to help others grow in Christ. And yet we're satisfied to be little babes and children in Christ. We're not satisfied with that in business. Generally, we're not satisfied with that in our marriages. We're not satisfied with our children when they want to stay babies. I mean, we want to move them on up. Of course, we move them up, send them out to college, and then they come back home and live with us again. But, you know, that happens. It's kind of like, am I never going to get rid of those kids? But the idea is to see people grow into what God created them to be. And that's what this third purpose is all about. We're to be sanctified. We're to be made holy. We're to be made perfect. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, be ye perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. There's nothing short of being like the Father for those of us who call ourselves his children. So the work of being a Christian and being like Christ is character development. It's making sure we're transformed to the very depth of our being, that we're changed in the very core of our lives, that our hearts are with God so that we choose to live and become the things of God and do the things of God. There's a story of a couple of people in their cars. It was probably a scene that you'd see right here in Fayetteville. And they were coming up on the intersection, and the light turns to yellow, and this guy, being nice and polite, decides he's going to stop. But the woman behind him in her car was just furious, because both of them could have made it if he had just pressed the gas and zipped on through that yellow light. And she was sitting there honking her horn at him at the red light. She was ranting and raving, and there's a tap on a window, and she looks up, and there's a patrolman. He says, ma'am, you're under arrest. What did I do? You're coming to the station with me. So they get down to the station, and she finally clarifies he arrested her for stealing that car. And she says, it's my car. I got the registration right here. And he said, well, ma'am, I guess I made a mistake. But you know, I saw that chrome-plated sign of the fish on the back of the car. And I saw that, what would Jesus say, bumper sticker on the right side, and that follow me to Sunday school on the left side. And I saw that right to life license plate holder, and I figured surely the car must have been stolen when I saw you ranting and raving and cussing and flipping off the guy in front of you. You see, we know a lot about Jesus, but we don't let him change our lives. We don't let him make us perfect. We don't let him start the process. We don't give him a place in the core of our being, because we're too busy with other things. We're too busy being a God to ourselves, and we put a little place over here for God where we can control him and keep God under control. But that's not living according to the third purpose that Rick Warren tells us about in the purpose-driven life. So how do we go about that? Well, Matthew tells us, lest we become like little children. He doesn't say, lest you stay little children all your life. He says, unless you become like children in your humility and realize that it's not all about you, that you're not your own God, that you're not really your own boss, even though you may think you are, that you belong to me. And you're supposed to grow up and be like me, just like my son Jesus did. Now, what does that bring us? Well, I tell you what, if we do that, it's going to bring us trouble. We're going to have troubles. But the truth of God will be there to help us through those troubles. God has given us the Word of God. God has given us the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth so we can handle the trouble life brings. And part of that trouble in life is a test of our character in everyday living. Sometimes the trouble in life is suffering when we lose a beloved father or a wife or a husband or a child or a friend. Some of that trouble comes into our lives when we have to deal with our physical infirmities and our physical limitations. But the truth of God is there. The Holy Spirit is there to help us through that process. And most of all, the church is there. The fellowship of Jesus Christ, if we've established it in our lives, is there to support us through troubled times. But beyond the troubled times, there's also going to be temptation. That there are going to be things that tempt us to go away from God. The closer we get to God, the harder the devil works to tempt us to move away from Him. So you see, we're not to be imitators of Christ, because the devil can imitate anything in the world. We're not to be imitators. We're supposed to let Him inhabit us. We're supposed to let Him come into our lives in such a way that He takes control from the center of our being, our heart, outward. So our character is consistent. So our behavior reflects that deep character. And then we need to realize it's going to take time. And for some of us, it takes a lot more time than for others. It's like everything else in life. We don't catch on as quick. It takes a lifetime. You know, it's like you go off on a vacation with children. One of the most renowned sayings is, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" Well, let's don't be too eager about "are we there yet" with our Christian journey. Because I've gotten to the point where I think, you know, it's a lifetime thing. And just when you think you might have arrived, God has a strange way of showing you that the road's a little bit longer than you thought it was. That I'm not there yet. John Wesley said, we could be perfected in love in this life. I think some people got there. And then the rest of it was taken when they went into the very house of God to be in the presence of His holiness. But it takes sacrifice. It takes some bother. It takes a lot of time. The church is a place to become like the Father. And since we're all children in that journey, we need to support one another along the way. You were created to be like Christ. We're to move from image to likeness through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank You that You just haven't offered us salvation, although many people seem to be satisfied at that point, but You've offered us transformation. Our world needs to see transformed people who want to be perfected in love. And then that can change the world. Salvation will not change the world unless there's sanctification. Make us holy. Make us into the image of Christ. And make us love more fully. In Jesus' name, amen.